It is good to see you this morning and want to encourage you, want to be like Barnabas this morning. We've entitled the lesson, Benevolent Like Barnabas. Of course, he was the son of encouragement, so he was encouraging people. And you know, benevolence is one of those things that encourages people. But when I say benevolent like Barnabas, or if I mention benevolence, what is it that comes to our minds? Sometimes when we hear the word benevolent, we don't know what to think because it's not a word that we use in our everyday language. I doubt very seriously that any of us used the word benevolent or benevolence at all this week in our daily activities. It's a church word. There are a lot of those words that we find only in the Bible or only when we're at church. And sometimes we don't really we kind of know what it means, but we don't really understand the true meaning of it. So when we say benevolent, sometimes people say, oh, I know benevolent. We've got a benevolence program at church, and that's where they, you know, we have a food closet or a clothes closet or a food pantry or a clothes closet. You know, we have some way that we give to the poor. That's what that is. That's benevolence. Well, that is a lot of times what we think of when we hear the word. By definition, the word benevolent means marked by or disposed to doing good. It's not just giving food to the hungry or clothes to those that need it. It's simply doing good, being a person who does good. Benevolence is an act of kind assistance, kindly concern, interest, or support. So when we define it that way, and when we understand benevolence truly, then we realize it's certainly much more than just a program at church that helps those that are poor. That's good. We want to notice then, Barnabas was benevolent in many ways. He did good deeds. He helped, he assisted. And so we want to notice some of those ways that he did that. In order for us to be more like him, we've been looking on our second Sundays at different Bible characters, some that we will want to copy, some that we'll want to be more like. Others we'll look at will be some that we want to not be like those folks. There are certainly some of those characters in the Scriptures as well. But Barnabas is certainly one that is looked up to and honored. He's kind of overlooked sometimes because he's not one of the major characters. He wasn't one of the 12 apostles, and he's not the main character in the stories that are told of Paul and Barnabas. Paul's the hero of the stories many times, if you will. And that's our theme for our Vacation Bible School, the adventures of Paul. But sometimes Barnabas was along for the trip, and he had a part in that as well. But he went about doing good. He was a person who did good. But we want to be like that. We want to be people who do good. And I want to encourage us to do that this morning. To be benevolent like Barnabas, we must provide financial support when we can. This is our primary way of thinking of benevolence. And it certainly is one that he did. In Acts 4, verses 34 through 37 that was read just a moment ago, we see that. We see that there were people who had needs. And because there were people like Barnabas, people who were willing to give to those needs, people who were willing even to sell their own property. Barnabas didn't have to sell his property. It was his. It belonged to him. Throughout the Scriptures, God is very clear about the idea of a person owning things and having property that belongs to them and that they have power over. And Barnabas had some property. He had some land. And he could have kept that land. But he didn't. Instead, he had this field and he sold the field and he took the money and he brought it and he laid it at the apostles' feet so that they could use it for anyone among the Christians who might have a need for it. Now, we may not have a piece of land. But we may be living on our land. We may not be able to just give it all up. And that may not be what we need to do. But Barnabas is a great example to us to do what we can. I don't think for a minute that Barnabas put himself in danger of going to the poorhouse by doing this. Now, there are some who will say, oh, we need to sell everything. We don't need to have anything. We don't need to have possessions at all. We just need to get rid of everything and give it all. And there was one man that Jesus told to do that rich young ruler. There was a reason for that. He loved his stuff too much. Now, if we are in that boat that we love our stuff too much, maybe we do need to sell some of it. Maybe we need to get rid of some of it. But Barnabas didn't love his stuff too much. He sold that land and he gave. We need to be a giving people. We need to be willing to share. We need to be willing to help others financially when we can. I've appreciated in the last couple of weeks with the fire across the highway, and several have brought and given to help the young lady that was living in that house that needed some help. And I appreciate that. It's a wonderful sign when we're willing to give and to share our financial blessings that God has given us. But secondly, we've got to realize that to be benevolent like Barnabas, we must provide moral support when it's needed. You know, sometimes people don't need money. Sometimes they're fine financially. Sometimes what they need is somebody to stand up for them. Somebody who knows what's right and will do what's right and won't be cowed by someone else. Barnabas was that kind of person. Now, understand, of course, Barnabas was just a man. He wasn't always perfect at this. Paul tells in Galatians of a situation where Barnabas kind of fell down on the job on this. But in some ways, that makes us realize that we can still be like him, even though we may not always be the moral support that we should. In that case, when Paul was in Antioch and Peter came to Antioch, Peter was joining in with the Gentiles, eating with them, fellowshipping with them. But then there were some from Jerusalem that came, and Peter pulled himself away. And Paul says that it was so bad that even Barnabas got caught up in it. Barnabas, who had gone to the Gentiles and preached and taught the Gentiles. Barnabas, who had been such a strong proponent of doing what was right and of not making the Gentiles follow the law of Moses and these things. That Barnabas still got caught up in that. But in Acts chapter 9, we see the strength that he had. We see him on a good day. You know, all of us have those days where we do what's right and we feel like, this was a good day. I did what I was supposed to do today. And then we all have those days where we feel like, I just couldn't get anything right today. I was stumbling, I was tripping, I was falling, I was dropping the little clicker. There were days like that too. We all have days like that. In Acts chapter 9 and verses 27 and 28, Barnabas had one of those good times where he knew what was right and he did what was right and he stood up for what was right in spite of the fact that it wasn't probably the most popular thing. In fact, it might have been one of the least popular things he could do. Barnabas took him. That's a kind of a generic word, but who is the him? Well, he had gone to find Saul. Remember, Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen. Saul is the one who had been persecuting the church. And a lot of people, I'm sure, that was fresh on their memories. A lot of people probably had friends or relatives who had been imprisoned by Paul or stoned by Paul like Stephen was or executed in some way or caused to blaspheme and turn away from Christ. There were a lot of things that he did to the Christians in those early years. Barnabas went and found him. This is after his conversion. At the end of Acts 9, Barnabas finds him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Can you even imagine that? Imagine Stephen's widow and his orphan children being there, and Barnabas brings Saul in and says, "Oh yeah, he's a Christian like us." But Barnabas knew what was right. He was moral support for Saul. Saul would have been in bad shape to go in there alone among that group of people that he had formerly persecuted. But Barnabas knew the change that had taken place in Saul's life. And so he stood up for him and offered him the moral support that he needed. That's probably part of the reason that it was so shocking to Saul, later on, when Barnabas didn't stand up for what was right. Because from the very first moment that Paul, had met Barnabas, Barnabas had been that pillar, that rock that stood up for what was right, even in an unpopular setting. But here he was. But we need to be like him and give the moral support when it's needed. Then we need to realize that if we're going to be benevolent like Barnabas, we must also provide spiritual support when possible. Now there are some people that don't want spiritual support. They don't want to have anything to do with anything spiritual. They don't even want to admit that we have a spirit or a soul or anything of that nature. But we want to realize how important it is when there are those who need spiritual support to provide that for them. In Acts 11, verses 19 through 24, it says, "Now those were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen. And they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." You know, if we heard that in another place, some people had received the gospel and were starting to believe, who would we send? Who would we pick out and say, you know, this is the person that we need to send to that group of new Christians to really help them get established in the faith and to grow, and also to reach out to more people? Who would that be? Well, some people say, well, we'd send the preacher. Well, maybe so. Barnabas wasn't the preacher. In Jerusalem, they had thousands to choose from. But Barnabas was the one they chose. And they sent him to Antioch. And when he got there, he exhorted those that had already believed to remain faithful. And he reached out to a great many more people as well. He provided that spiritual support that young church needed. That new church plant needed some mature guidance. And Barnabas provided that. Barnabas had been a Levite, so he was well versed in the law. He knew the Jewish religion and its history and the prophecies leading up to Christ. And he also had been a Christian from early on. And so he knew what being a Christian was all about. He was certainly a good choice. Would you be a good choice? Would I be a good choice in that circumstance? We need to think about whether we could be benevolent like Barnabas. Now we might say, well, I could never do it on that kind of a scale. Maybe not. But I guarantee you there are some people in your life who need spiritual support. They are struggling with their faith. They're about to be conquered by doubt. They're wondering whether any of this is for real. They're wondering if the church and the Bible and Jesus, if it'll really do anything for them in their life. And in many cases, they're people that the preacher may never meet. Or they might not listen to the preacher anyway because, well, you know, he's the preacher. Of course, he's got to say all that stuff's real. But they might listen to their friend or their neighbor. Are we being benevolent like Barnabas by providing spiritual support? But then to be benevolent like Barnabas, we need to provide emotional support when we're able to. In Acts 15, in verses 37 through 39, Paul and Barnabas had gone on a missionary journey. And they had taken this young fellow named John Mark. Actually happened to be Barnabas' nephew. He'd quit. He'd gone back home. It was too hard for him. Anybody here ever quit something because it was too hard for him? Most of us probably have. There's probably a few. I never quit anything. I just toughed it through. But most of us, we found, you know, this is just not for me. This is too hard. This is too much. We don't know exactly what happened with John Mark, but he left from Pamphylia and went back home. Maybe it was because it was his first time away from mom. Maybe it was because he was young and immature. Maybe it was just because he wasn't physically up to the difficulties. And you look at some of the things Paul says about what they endured when they were on these journeys. It was tough. And maybe he just wasn't up to it. We don't know all the details, but we do know that he'd left and he didn't go with them on the rest of the trip. Because of that, when it came time for them to go again, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul said, no way. So he quit. He's a quitter. I don't want him going this time. Barnabas, again, we talked about him standing up for somebody and offering some moral support. He stood up for John Mark to the point that it caused a rift between Paul and Barnabas. And Paul went his way, took Silas with him, but Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Barnabas took Mark and he took him under his wing and he encouraged him and he built him up so that the young fellow who was a quitter the first time around and wouldn't go to the work went through with Barnabas. And when he went after going through with Barnabas, what we find is it strengthened him to the point that you realize we would not, if it weren't for Barnabas, we would not have the Gospel of Mark. It's because of Barnabas's encouragement and strengthening of Mark that he remained faithful and grew, and to the point that he was the author of one of the books of the New Testament, the writer of one of the books of the New Testament. And he grew so much that the very same man who said, I don't want him going because he quit last time, later on in 2 Timothy 4:11 says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him, for he is very useful for me in the ministry. If it hadn't been for Barnabas, where would Mark have been? He wouldn't have been very useful for Paul in the ministry. You know, sometimes we can be kind of harsh on people. And some people need that harshness. They need a firm hand to drive them. And that was Paul. Paul was the firm hand. He wasn't going to pull back any punches. But there are some who are a little more tender. They need a little more special care. And that's who John Mark was. And Barnabas provided that for him. Barnabas helped him to grow. We need to provide emotional support for people that need it. Not everyone is of the iron constitution and iron will that they can just take everything that's dished out like Paul did. Not everyone can do that. Then if we want to be benevolent like Barnabas, we have to give of our time and ability. In Acts 11, 25 through 26, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Don't know exactly how long it took him to find him, but when he did find him, he brought him to Antioch, and they spent a year meeting with the church, and they taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Barnabas put his time and effort, his ability, to go find someone that he knew would be a help to the church. And then he brought him back. And then a little while later in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so Paul and Barnabas began their first missionary journey. Now, not all of us have the time or the ability to go all around the world on a missionary journey like Paul and Barnabas did. But we have some time and some ability. How are we using it? What are we doing for the Lord? Are we giving of our time and our ability? Or do we think that, well, I went to church, that's giving my time to the Lord? When we come together and assemble to worship Him and to fellowship and encourage and exhort one another, that's not giving Him time. That's time of enjoyment and growth and preparation for us to go out into daily life and give of our time and ability to Him. Far from being the time that we've given to the Lord, it's the time that He's giving to us. It should be a time of refreshing and renewal. Because out there in the world all week long, surely we get beat down. We get tired. We get wearied. And we need to come together so that we can renew our strength and refresh ourselves so that we can go do it again next time, next week. We need to give of our time and ability to the Lord. And we need to give our time and ability to others who have those spiritual needs, financial needs, emotional needs, whatever it might be. But then the final way that we need to be benevolent, like Barnabas, is by looking for ways to help instead of ways to get credit. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how many people live their lives as Christians basically just looking for, how can I get a big name? How can I be the most important person? That's not what Jesus came to bring us. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus taught us that whoever serves the most is going to be the greatest. Not the one who gets the most human popular votes or the most acclaim as a human being. In Acts chapter 11, in verses 29 and 30, the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas had the opportunity here to take a gift from others to someone else. He wasn't looking to get credit for the gift himself. He was just the messenger. He was just the delivery boy. You know, now, consider, this is Barnabas we're talking about. He's too important for that, isn't he? No, he didn't think so. He didn't think he was too important to be the courier who took the money to Jerusalem. We see that as well, even in Acts 4. There's no indication that Barnabas tried to make any big deal out of the money that he gave from the land that was sold. He wasn't trying to make a name for himself. He just did it. Luke's the one who writes about it through the inspiration of the Scripture so that we know about it. Barnabas didn't make big fanfare about it. In Acts 13 and verse 43, after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Again, we see here Barnabas encouraging people to look toward God. Not trying to build himself up, but trying to build God up and trying to build the Lord up. In Acts 14, 11 through 15, an occasion that actually gets them into quite a lot of trouble. The crowd saw what Paul had done. He had healed someone. And they lifted up their voices in their own language, saying, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Now, you know, Barnabas could say, "Well, I should be the chief speaker. I was a Christian before this guy. How come he gets to be the chief speaker instead of me?" That wasn't Barnabas' way of thinking. But then the priest of Zeus came and brought oxen, and they were going to make a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. I'm afraid there are probably some preachers in the world today who, under that circumstance, would have said, "Wow, this is special. Look how they're treating me. I like this." But Paul and Barnabas didn't. Instead, they said, "What are you doing? We're just men like you." And they were barely able to stop the people from doing the sacrifice to them. They tried hard to get them to stop. And it was difficult to get those people to stop. But Barnabas wasn't in it to get the credit. I mean, you think about that for a minute. How tempting would that be to many of us? You can perform miracles. You can heal people. That's kind of tempting to misuse a gift like that, isn't it? And then the people think you're a god. Now, we probably all seen little cartoons or movies about something like that where you know, somebody, you know, goes somewhere and they say, "Oh, it's a god." And they play into it in that show. They go right along with that. "Yeah, it's great. These people think I'm really awesome. They think I'm a god." Paul and Barnabas knew that wasn't right. That's not the way we're to behave. No one can take God's place. So how well are we doing at being benevolent like Barnabas? How well are we doing at being like the son of encouragement? You know, how much encouragement did this guy give that, even though he wasn't looking for credit, but the apostles noticed him? Now think about that for a minute. In a congregation that started out with 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost and grew quickly to 5,000. Either that or they added 5,000 more. It depends exactly how you read that text. But so anywhere from 5,000 up to 8,000 people. You ever been in a church that big? The biggest one I've ever been in is about 1,100 or 1,200. And I didn't know most of the people in that congregation. I wasn't the preacher there either. But even the preacher, I'm sure he didn't know everybody. But you think about the apostles. 5,000 people, or 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children that were in their families as well. I mean, it could have been 10, 15. Some have estimated that the church in Jerusalem quickly grew to as much as 25,000 people. It's talking about it multiplied and it grew and they were added to them daily and all these kinds of things. There were thousands of people. And Barnabas wasn't out to seek credit, and yet he is known by the apostles. Joseph is known by the apostles as Barnabas. They gave him the name Barnabas because they said, "That guy right there, he is the son of encouragement." That's a pretty good name to have, isn't it? How are we doing? If Jesus changed our name, you know, he did that to Simon, called him Peter. You're a rock. I'm going to call you Peter. He did that to Abram. You're going to be Abraham. He did it to Joseph. You're going to be Israel. And the apostles did it to Barnabas. But if the apostles were to come back today, or if the Lord were to come back today, if he was going to say, you know, I'm going to give you a nickname, what kind of nickname would he give you? What kind of nickname would he give me? Something for us to think about. Would it be something good like Son of Encouragement? Or would it be like, you know, he gave the Pharisees and scribes some nicknames too. Whitewashed tombs. Things like that. That's not a very nice nickname. You don't want one of those. Are you being benevolent like Barnabas? Are you being an encourager who helps out when you can? If not, why not? Get started. It doesn't have to be on a huge scale. Just start with one person at a time. Find one person that you can encourage and build them up. And then find another one. One at a time. Add another one to it. Two at a time. Keep going until you're encouraging many. And you'll be encouraged as well. Remember, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. When we give encouragement, when we give support, we receive more than the person that we gave it to. Let's all be more like Barnabas this week and in future weeks as well. If you haven't been benevolent like you should, if there are some other things in your life that you haven't been doing as you should, whatever case may be, if you have a need to come because you haven't been obedient to the gospel, you can do that this morning. Repenting of your sins based on your belief in Jesus as the Son of God. Confessing Him as the Son of God and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you're here and you are a Christian but you haven't been living as you should, please come and make that right.